Father, according to Jesus' parable of the sower, there are four different types of people that we hear the word. I'm praying, Father, that all of us are ground number four today, that we receive the word, understand the word, and we would keep the word, and we would bring forth 30, 60, and 100 times what's being sown in our hearts today, dear Lord God. Hebrews 4:2 says that the people in the Old Testament heard the good news, but they did not mix it with faith, so it did not profit them. So I thank you that today this word will be profitable in the hearts and lives of the people that you're sending it to. And I pray not for us here alone, but right next door with Pastor John Boss. We pray over his congregation, dear Lord God, down the street at North Point, Father God. We lift them up to you. Father, we lift up Crossroads. We lift up Calvary Chapel. We lift up First Baptist, Grace Baptist, dear Lord God. We lift up Connection Church. Father, we pray for the AME Church. Lord, we just thank you for pouring your spirit out upon New Hope today, upon South Hills Church, Father God. Just bless Corona today, Father God. Just bless us with your word. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say, amen. Amen. So repeat after me. These are our four core values at New Day. Say, I will worship. I will connect, I will be equipped, and I will serve. Do you guys remember, and there was a TV show called In Living Color, and it was a parody. They made fun of everybody. This was back in the 90s, and they had one particular skit they would do with Homie the Clown. Now, for you guys that don't know, the younger generation, or you just didn't see it, Homie, I would not let my kids watch this, by the way. Homie the Clown, he was a clown, but he was from the hood, and he was mean as I don't know what. He would have a sock, and like he would go to these parties, and a little kid say, Homie, can we do something? And he would take a sock and hit him in the head and say, Homie, don't play that. It was hilarious. Now you have a clown who's mean. You have a clown who's mean. Can you imagine Homie as a Christian? But there are a lot of Christians that come out of meanness. You're supposed to be a clown. You're supposed to be pleasant, happy, joyous, fun to be around. And you're hitting people with socks. Let's get into this. So our sermon series for the month of July is release. Say release. Release. Now our scripture is Luke 17, verses 32 through 33. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says this, remember what happened to Lot's wife. 33, he says this, Jesus speaking. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. Now, Lot's wife, she clung to her life and lost it. This is what Jesus said. Now, remember this, we already know this, that with the things written in the Old Testament, who I read, those Jesus' words, right? Hallelujah. But the things written in the Old Testament are written for our learning and for our example, right? So now Jesus did the same thing right here. He said, remember Lot's wife. And he's warning the people. Amen. Now, today's sermon is Let It Go. Say, let it go. Let it go. And our scripture for today is Genesis 19, verse 26. Verse 26 says in Genesis, okay, I'll give you guys, okay, it's on your handout. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. She looked back as she was following behind him. I'm going to unpack that in a moment. And she turned into a pillar of salt. She looked back. She looked back. She looked back. And now I'm telling you this, and you've heard me say it before, pay attention to what gets your attention, because what gets your attention gets you. Pay attention to what gets your attention, because what gets your attention gets you. Turn your hand out over, please. Now, go to Genesis 19 in your Bibles or in your devices. You can turn your pages, swipe with your finger, whatever you got to do, scroll. Genesis 19, and we're reading from the New Living Translation. We're going to go verses 1 through 29, okay? Genesis 19, verses 1 through 29. And again, the sermon title for today is Let It Go. Now, we have Abraham. Remember Abraham. The earth has been flooded, And after years after that, then God raised up this one man, Abraham, and eventually he did make it to Canaan where he was supposed to go. And he took his nephew Lot with him. Now, God had told him, you know, leave your family, get away from your country, your kinfolk, and your father's house to land I show you. But, you know, being a nice guy he was, he took his nephew Lot. Well, Abraham was very wealthy, and they had a lot of cattle and sheep. And so there began to be contention between Lot and his herdsmen and Abraham and his herdsmen. They were just so rich, they didn't know what to do. They just had so much, okay? What a problem. And Abraham said, let's separate. And Lot agreed. And then he let Lot choose where he wanted to, you know, wherever Lot wanted to go. And so Lot chose a plain. And eventually, let me cut to the chase, Lot ended up in the city of Sodom. Okay? It's a progression. And so there was a lot of wickedness in Sodom. And God had said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And on his way to do so, he stopped by Abraham, hollered at him for a bit, and they talked. And Abraham was kind of concerned because he knew his nephew Lot was down there with his family. And he knew the city was going to be destroyed because of the wickedness. And he, after a series of, you know, will you destroy the city if there's 10 people and if there's 10 righteous people and all that. So eventually, they worked it out. And so the angels get there to the city, and that's where we're going to pick it up in chapter 19, verse 1. That evening, the two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. Lot was sitting there, and when he saw them, he stood up to meet them. Then he welcomed them and bowed with his face to the ground. Verse 2, my lords, he said, come to my home to wash your feet and be my guest for the night. You may then get up early in the morning and be on your way again. Yeah, right. Oh, no, they replied, we'll just spend the night out here in the city square. But Lot insisted, so at last they went home with him. Lot prepared a feast for them, complete with fresh bread made without yeast, and they ate. But before they retired for the night, all the men of Sodom, say men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city and surrounded the house. They shouted to Lot, where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out to us so that we can, with them. That's sad. That's vile. I mean, just sitting there for a second. I just want you to think about this vile. The whole city? What's going on with you guys? That you just like sit around, nothing else to do, like, hey, them two guys over there. With no compassion or heart. It's just vile. And then if you think about that would take man after man after man after man after man. What is wrong with you? You're number 12 or 13. Why are you sitting there waiting, watching? I want you to see the wickedness of this. And what is in this community? And y'all says all of a sudden everybody said, let's go do this. Why is this okay? Why is this? What you talking about culture? You know, every community has a culture. Every church has a culture. Families have cultures. That's why God told Abraham, get away from his country. Get away from his culture, if you would. His kinfolk, you got a family culture. Your house you came out, there's a culture. And for what God wants to do, he says, get away from it. So we look at these men and this culture they had. In verse 7, please, my brothers, he begged, Lot begged, don't do such a wicked thing. It's wicked. Look, I have two virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them as you wish. Now, I'm trouble right there. But maybe Lot was so loving of God and angels. I don't know. I'm just troubled. This whole thing troubles me. Now, I'm not so holy to sit here and tell y'all. This bothers me just on so many different levels. But please leave these men alone, for they are my guests and are under my protection. Stand back, they shouted. This fellow came to town as an outsider. Now he's acting like our judge. He just said, let me give you my daughters. He's not. You know how funny when people are wrong, how they hear something that's not said? You ever notice that about people? It's so funny. And this is, that's a whole nother message. Let me keep going. Verse 9, stand back, they shouted. This fellow came to our town as an outsider, and now he's acting like our judge. We'll treat you far worse than those other men. Oof. And they launched toward Lot to break down the door, but the two angels reached out, pulled Lot into the house, and bolted the door. Then they blinded all the men, young and old, who were at the door of the house, so they gave up trying to get inside. Meanwhile, the angels questioned Lot, "Do you have any other relatives here in the city?" They asked. "Get them out of this place. Your sons, daughters, and anyone else. Get everybody, for we're about to destroy the city completely." The outcry against this place is so great, it has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. Verse 14. So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés, "Quick, get out of the city. The Lord is about to destroy it." The young men thought he was only joking. And I question that too. It's like, okay. But 15. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. "Hurry," they said. Excuse me. "Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now, or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city." When Lot still hesitated, Now, we got to be careful because we can read a lot into this. It just says he hesitated. I don't know why. God is going to destroy the city. You've already seen how wicked the men are. What are you holding on to? The angel sees his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city. They had to drag them out, for the Lord was merciful. 17. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, watch this, run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Excuse me, guys. He said, escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. "Oh, no, my Lord," Lot begged. People got issues. Now, remember, this was written for our example, for our learning. So it's written there so we can learn from it. And it's so easy to see everybody else's issues, but you have no idea how hard it is to see your own. It is. I met with my coach yesterday, my vision coach, working this New Day Global stuff, because I was stuck. He came in, boom, boom, boom. Oh, there it is. We get stuck. We need help. So as I'm looking at him, he's got some internal stuff going on. 19, "You have been so gracious to me and saved my life, and you have shown such great kindness, but I cannot go to the mountains. Disaster would catch up to me there, and I would soon die." Now, if I'm not mistaken, you know, the angels on a mission from God, and they telling you what to do, and you got a better idea. Now, you don't want found yourself in Sodom with a whole bunch of male rapists. What makes you think you got the wherewithal? I've shared with you before on Gage and Vermont, that in back in the day, that was in L.A., that was a Shell gas station. My father and I pull in. I think I'm like 9 years old. A young man sees my dad and called him Rev. "Hey, Rev." My dad was a pastor. And he says, "Hey, Rev, as soon as I get myself together, I'm coming back to church." And my dad said, "Young man, if you had the ability to get yourself together, you would not have allowed yourself to get messed up in the first place." Now, I talk a lot about my dad, but dad could drop some knowledge every now and then. And I was 9, and I got that. I was 9, and I still remember that. That was 49 years ago. And I still remember, 48 years ago, whatever. I still remember that. And he's going to tell him, "No, let me go to the mountains." But anyway, verse 20, "See, there was a small village nearby. Please let me go there instead. Don't you see how small it is?" Yeah, we reason with God. Hey, okay. "Then my life will be saved." Oh, you really know best. 21, "All right," the angel said, "I will grant you your request. I will not destroy the little village. But hurry, escape to it, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." This explains why that village was known as Zoar, which means little place. And if you guys went to Israel, you remember we were driving by the Dead Sea, and we saw this big pillar of salt, y'all remember. All right, here we go. 23, "Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah." I wonder what did Lot and him think when they saw that. Now, today, we would think that's a nuclear blast. Think about it. I mean, that's the lens we would see it through, what we're familiar with. I wonder, what did they think? Verse 25, he utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. She looked back. She looked back. Now, look back, of course, this was originally written in Hebrew, and look back means to look intently at. It means to have regard with pleasure, favor, or care. That's why I said pay attention to what gets your attention, because what gets your attention gets you. You ever wonder why you look at what you look at? You're driving down the street, and all of a sudden, something just catches your eye. Or you walk in the mall, just do, and you got to get, you know, lunch break is over. You try to get back to your car, and all of a sudden, ooh, what is that, and why is that? And if you don't understand that, you won't manage that, and I don't want you to become a pillar of salt. You will lose your focus. And a lot of us, we needed a paradigm shift. There was something she valued back in Sodom. That was, now wait a minute, her family was with her, right? Her husband and her daughters were with her. Why was she dragging her feet? That's what the following behind actually says. She was dragging her feet. What was it? What was there that was in her heart? Wicked men. You saw the wickedness? Your family's with you. What are you holding on to? And sometimes we have some values that needs to shift. I've seen women leave their husband and children for a man. What are your values? What are your values? I've seen women leave. Well, you keep coming to church, but you connect with a man that's not worth 20 cents. What are your values? Why is it getting your attention? And I don't know if she picked it up in Sodom or whatever she developed this belief, but, you know, I grew up in Compton. There were some values I picked up in Compton. You think Homie the Clown was bad, but I don't play that. I ain't play it either. I'm 5'7", but I would hit you in the head with a bat. You are not going to get over me. My value was, you're not going to play me. You're not going to take advantage of me. You're not going to get over on me. Then I come into Christianity. Turn the other cheek. Be long-suffering, tender-hearted, merciful, gracious, kind. I'll bust you in your head. You say it again. No, okay. So, you got to change your values. But too many times we got one foot still in Sodom, God's trying to lead us somewhere to safety, trying to lead us out. But we're going to look back. Ooh. And maybe you're not mean, like what the things I've had to work through. Maybe you're just one of them super nice people that don't know how to say no. Your value is to please people. And you done found yourself in a situation where you about to turn into a pillar of salt because you don't know how to say no. And it might be your self-worth, your lack of self, I don't know. But then you come into the kingdom of God and the word says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If God would take his spirit and pour it into you, you must be valuable. Well, Pastor, back in my Sodom, my mom treated me like this. You ain't with your mom no more. David said in Psalms 27:10, if you read it in Hebrew, it says, although my mother and father have forsaken me, yet the Lord will take me up. David, who was, he said, I was conceived in sin. And everybody said, well, we're all conceived in sin. No, we're not. No, we're not. You confuse them with being born. He said, conceived. So when I met my wife and we decided, and she talked me, and her and my aunt and my mom talked me into having Brian, we were married. My child was conceived, and it wasn't sin. There's nothing wrong with that, conceived in a marriage. I was married. Now, when I was 17 and I was getting ready to graduate, I had a girl that was pregnant. That child was conceived in fornication. That child was conceived in sin. Now, she lost the baby. So David said he was conceived in sin. But then later on, he says, you know what? I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise you. I praise you because the mountains are beautiful, the sea, and it's amazing what you've done, the handiwork, and I sit here in awe and just, and you know, and, yeah, you can praise God for that. But David, he moved from his Sodom with his parents and all his issues and his brothers rejecting him. And you know what he said? He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wait. He says, marvelous are your works. And then that last part, it says, and my soul knows full well. I know it. And many of us, we still stay stuck. Too many times we keep looking back at the trauma, looking back at what we're familiar with. And even though it's painful because we know it, that's why we long for it. She didn't make it. Verse 27. Abraham got up early that morning and hurried out to the place where he stood in the Lord's presence. He looked out across the plain towards Sodom and Gomorrah and watched as columns of smoke rose from the cities like smoke from a furnace. 29. But God had listened to Abraham's request and kept Lot safe, removing him from the disaster that engulfed the cities on the plain. She didn't make it. Now, how did it impact those around her? Your desire to stay and pay attention to Sodom and stay in Sodom. How is it impacting those around you? Her husband was now a widow. She wasn't thinking about her husband. Her kids, her two daughters, they were so confused. A little while later, you know what they said? The father got him drunk, and they went in and slept with him, one at a time, and both got pregnant. Because they said, this is it for our lineage. If mom had been there, it wouldn't have been incestuous. The confusion she caused because she was lingering and her heart was set somewhere else. Can you please fix your heart on Jesus Christ? Make a decision. You don't need, and here's the thing. You don't need to win an argument in your marriage. That's a value I think you need to get away, let go of. I've let that go. Jackie don't think so, but I have let that go. What thus saith the Lord? You know, in Matthew 5, Jesus constantly says, you know, you have heard it said, but I say. We need to shift. There are things we need to let go. Otherwise, we're double-minded. According to the book of James, unstable in all our ways. And your instability, just creating space for the enemy to get in, jack up you, your kids, your future. So pay attention to what is getting your attention. Because what's getting your attention is getting you. Bow your heads, please. Father in heaven, we come before you just thankful. Thankful to Lord God for your word. Thank you that it is a